offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi, Tatiyampi, Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, By compassionate mindfulness that proves its path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dityampi, tatyampi, sabha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. and suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning? Scott.
Well, I've been having a really good time. And I like to practice, you know, we're coming up on Christmas. And most of my life, I practiced Christianity until this practice. And I still love Jesus, as this practice often supports. So I just have a good time bringing the attention to whatever it seems like Jesus is to this person during this time. And it could just be, well, over the years I've made all these recordings and I've named them. So now I can just, in my iPhone, type Christmas and this whole playlist comes up.
Oh, wow. And it's all your Jesus?
Yeah, it's like talks, it's like singing. Oh, Holy Night and Silent Night, my two favorite songs. And I just did another one of those this morning where I have a recording of someone else singing. It's this girl who just has this really beautiful voice, and I think it's the raw innocence. You know, sometimes you hear a really polished singer like Mariah Carey, somebody who is inspiring, but there's something about the child that I like to get in touch with. And so this morning we sang a little duet. And so she's singing and then I'm singing and I'm recording it. And I just love recording and listening for all its facets. And just the beauty of that, you know, that this, the innocence here about to sing, because most of my life it's like, that doesn't really sound very good. You're not really a singer. Okay, but be really quiet. And it's such a metaphor for not being allowed to just completely just be however it is, to fully let it go, you know, because it's almost like that that holding back is what interferes with the voice, with the singing.
And
everything. That's why it's such a good metaphor, you know. And then there's a comment, well, you're not a good, well, I've never been allowed to. And I've seen, you know, I've seen that, yeah, exactly, across the board.
Yeah, wow. That, and there's just a couple of processes to underline. One, just the direct, that strikes me as directing the attention, like this time of year, just really being able to direct the attention where you want, and then the resonance.
Yes.
You know, finding those recordings and resonating, that the heart is sort of, you know, the metaphor of the quivering needle, you know, and then getting to let him fully participate.
Yeah.
Just be there, you know, in that childhood innocence.
Yeah. That's exactly, so I've been writing letters to Jesus, and he's been, or he or she or whatever we want, is writing back. And so this morning, the response was around, essentially, it's, you know, your only role, if you want to, is just to put down what you're carrying, mm. and just to hold your hands out and arms out and just receive. Mm. You know, it's like mm. I can feel both the no, I have to. It comes from here. I have to make it happen, and I can just feel the like tears start to come up of just that kind of love. You don't have to be carrying. There's no burden for you.
Yeah.
You can actually. It's okay to put it down.
Yeah.
And being clear that Jesus is, sounded a lot like the mentor when I talked to the mentor. was just saying, and their role is just to offer that to support. To be that kind of mediator and offering that support, and all I have to do is receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the transformation happens. And then I already knew that. They're just reminding me.
Yeah. Again, touching in with that experience and that resonance of what is required if you want to. Mm-hmm. Your only role is to put down the burden and receive and just hold your hands out. And there are, people and structures and life that are here to support. And this is your role.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so simple. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like an image of this human being carrying around all these things in his arms. But from Jesus' perspective, his arms are just whole. There's nothing actually... those things aren't real.
Yeah.
To him, it feels like, well, I've got to keep this thing, I've got to keep thinking about this, or I've got to keep, this kind of belief going because I can't let go of, that working hard is really what keeps you, or, thinking about this, and then I'll have it right. I can't let go of those kinds of things because I may need them.
Yeah.
But when so he thinks that they're actual physical, like, things that he has to hold on to, or he won't be okay. And Jesus is looking at this poor guy, and there's actually nothing in his arms because they're all made up.
Yeah.
There's nothing real about it.
Yeah.
And all Jesus is doing is holding that person until they can see it for themselves, that those things that you think are making you okay, they actually don't even exist.
Yeah.
And that that's that metaphoric what we're doing and wearing away the ego. Is, well, how about you just set it down on the ground for a little while? You hope you could pick it back up if you want. and that has been, and every time I let go of something, then there's more, I set something down, I get to have the experience of receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking, I just remember talking about last time about Cantalomba, about being that empty cup and being filled, and ego can never see what will be filled when all it can see is the end of itself,
mm-hmm.
and get you to believe that setting that down means you're going to die,
mm-hmm.
which of course means it's going to die.
Yeah.
And just that patience that I get from God, from life, from Jesus, from all that animates, just that patience of that is the process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think I need to pick it back up here for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, his goodness is not dependent on getting this right or doing it quickly,
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. And that's also what I was hearing in the writing from Jesus this morning. Like, that this has nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah. You're being invited to a different process, and it's okay if the human thinks that this is, you've got to carry this around and all of that. There's no pressure. Even putting it down doesn't make it the right thing.
Right.
It's just that in this infinite patience of life in Jesus, you could be in this process. You could be in the receiving and being supported and all of that. And the guy feels like, no, but I got to just work harder. And then I got, and that's okay too.
Yeah, totally.
But every now and then, he'll put it down.
Yeah.
And get to experience that, and it'll resonate, maybe even more than every now and then, actually, it sounds like. Because, you saw it in the Cantalumba experience,
mm-hmm.
you've seen it tons of times in your practice, mm-hmm. and it's just that wearing away of the mm-hmm. karma, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just seeing that, all the practices, all the guidance, seem to be based in that for me. It's the support.
Mm-hmm.
It's the support to set that down and have your own experience that you're okay. In
mm-hmm.
fact, how is this? What's, tell me about it. What's it like?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, this is kind of awesome.
Yeah.
And then you're here. Wow. Oh, I want to you know, and then we don't even know I picked it back up.
Yeah.
Why does it feel so heavy? My arm's getting tired. Oh, I picked that thing up again.
What is that awesome experience?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm carrying all this stuff.
Getting really tired. I don't know why. Uh-huh. Yeah, and then we just come back and we set it down and we have this support. Yeah. I mean, that's so critical because so in those beliefs around carrying things around is it's up to me. It's coming from me. Mm-hmm. This will happen through me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's just not true. It's just not.
And getting to see that. Getting to see that, that's how the me gets.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just so helpful.
Yeah, and the support allows to have enough space to see that. Mm-hmm. Instead of being identified with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a little bit of gap to notice.
Yeah.
That's a process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then just to have that recognition, like, you know, then that in itself becomes the awesome experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed.
I've been having a really good time also.
Uh-huh.
and part of it is, so when I say that, that's a very large, really good time. In that it includes major undulations. Mm-hmm. And that's been part of it, is that, let's see, there's just so many things about it, but one of the things I've really been seeing is why not having better ideas is such a huge part of practice. And that practice gives us everything we need. And then, at least for me, sometimes relatively subtly, until of course you see it, conditioning is putting these better ideas on top of that. Mm-hmm. And so just the simplicity of practicing in meditation, counting the breath, outside of the meditation, I choose unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Just the simplicity of that. And seeing that creates what I project in that last conversation you were talking about with the ability to receive. Mm-hmm. That feels like it puts me here where I'm available to just receive the miracle of living. Mm-hmm. And that it's the better idea that can take a billion different forms, but kind of like, you know, this and that and programs and, you know, just like that, that actually prevent that, even though they seem like they're, quote, practicing. Mm-hmm. It can actually prevent me from just being here and receiving the experience of presence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if I'm following you, what you're practicing is the simplicity of counting the breath, mm-hmm. counting the breath, and then off the cushion, it's I choose unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And in that simplicity and over persistent kind of coming back to that all over and over again, what you're seeing is that the better ideas that can plague the human and the life is an add-on.
Mm-hmm.
That it actually prevents the unfolding of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of, I just thought of that Rumi quote, you know, our job is not to seek for love, but all the barriers against it are mm-hmm. where that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that it gets revealed as that.
Yeah. Yeah, because before, as you said, you don't see them as stuff like something really good, really kind of practicing and
mm-hmm.
inspirational, whatever. And then we get to see it. And, maybe that's actually stopping something the heart really wants.
As you say that, what I see is, I think the huge benefit for me of the challenging places in practice is that when it gets challenging enough, it invites surrender. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like that surrender because at a certain point, before it gets so challenging, it can feel like me trying hard and moving the pieces around seems to make sense. You know? But then at a certain point it reaches I've got nothing left, kind of.
Yeah.
And I think it inspires simple awareness of like, hang on, what if I just practiced?
Uh-huh.
You know, just in the sense of the simplicity of practice.
Yeah.
I guess the simplicity of being the joyous and practical guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in a way, that gratitude for those challenges, like you said at the beginning, the undulations is part of the good time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's when the challenging places get to sort of a peak that mm-hmm. invites the surrender, and mm-hmm. we can see, oh yeah, it was just me kind of coming around and trying to do this and make this work and all that, and feeling ourselves in that process over and over again is actually what kind of reminds us or calls us back to that simplicity.
Yes, very much. And actually, truly, recording listening is unbelievable. In the, I sometimes talk about it as the life curriculum, where it just feels like, you know, and very likely, a huge part of it is that, you know, when we're ready, we hear the thing we hear, you know, but it can feel like just this piece and then handed this piece and then handed this piece and then handed this piece. And what it feels like especially listening back, is that I can hear so many things. I can hear the sincerity of the person doing the practice. I can have great compassion for the things that are being practiced with, huge respect mm-hmm. for the tenacity of the practice, and also some distance that the person possibly making the recording originally didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes talk about that I feel like for me, one of the miracles of recording listening is that when I'm the person in the middle of it, I'm talking, and I'm also aware of the sidetrack of the conversation in the head. Mm-hmm. But when I'm listening back, I'm only hearing the person. Mm-hmm. I don't have to deal with the sidetrack mm-hmm. because there's a pure, in the same way I think we were looking at it, maybe it was last Sunday, that, you know, we listen to each other in group, and it's so inspiring, and it's uplifting, and I relate, and I get so much from it. Because I'm only privy to what's actually come out of their mouth. I don't have to deal with the side thing that I'm quite certain is happening for them. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to trudge through that. Mm-hmm. I just hear the person. Mm-hmm. So the same thing in my own recordings. Mm-hmm. I'm just hearing the person. I don't have to deal with all that side crapple that's happening at the same time. And that can create a tremendous amount of clarity mm-hmm. in really being with her.
Yeah, because you've actually laid out without the shifting of the hands, the two-handed recording exercise,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
Because what you're describing is when I'm really listening to whoever was talking in that right hand, mm-hmm. I'm not privy to that to the other stuff either.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's
even
right.
Though it's still me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so making that movement, mm-hmm. as we've been training for all these years, mm-hmm. to make that movement, and now there you get to experience it and enjoy it mm-hmm. in just listening.
Yeah. I had one of those moments last night where I just, I saw something, and it was not new at all. I mean, basically what I saw was no one can take my life experience away from me. Mm-hmm. Nothing, and no one can do that. Nothing. Mm-hmm. I get to, it's tricky to say I get to choose it because I have to be here to choose it. But when I'm here, I do get to choose it. Of course, there's a way in which when I'm here, it's already chosen, and I really don't need to because should I choose suffering or should I choose? But in that, it's such a powerful place mm-hmm. to realize, wow, all, you know, how much I go around like, I like that, I don't like that, and they said that, and this happened, and that. It's inevitable suffering. Mm-hmm. And so to have that experience of, wow, no one, nothing can take that from me, feels like one of those places of, wow, that's what the joyous, the simplicity feels like it makes me available to, mm-hmm. is just that. Because again, that's not like that's new information.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it feels like what happens is I make myself available to be here, to have the direct experience, mm-hmm. you know. And all the recordings, I mean, I listened to a guidance I had, and to a ha-ha, and it's just like, this piece, this piece, this piece, this piece, quick,
yeah.
Boom. Yeah. And then it's just there.
Yeah, that is actually sort of the image of a lock. You know,
yeah,
click,
exactly.
Click, click, click. The simplicity is sort of, and then opens it up right to that place of such clarity and such, you know, no one can, nothing can mm-hmm. ever take away my life experience. Because mm-hmm. that's where I'm living.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. God, much gratitude. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, I have no idea what I'm going to say yet, but I'm just, you know, in my head, because, yep. you know, it's making me feel afraid to talk without knowing what I'm going to say. But I did have a note about what I wanted to say in group, but it's not here anymore. Well, yeah, just sitting right here right now, I can see ego just having, like, an issue with privileged environment. I'm way up here in the room. My eyes are just having having sensations that I need to widen my eyes and look somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So uh-huh. it's so challenging when there's somebody sitting on each side of me. Like, it's easier when I'm on the edge.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I'm just, yeah, everything is, like, yeah, you know, having fun.
What was that?
Ego is having, you know, making me feel really uncomfortable.
So let me just catch up with you here. So you put up your hands, and there, and that in a sense is challenging that voice of the fear. You don't know what you're going to say. I don't, you know, where's that? No, I don't, you know. And just participating, just the human being who is sitting there, the practitioner who wants to show up and participate. And in doing so, you know, it kind of does leave ego in a bad position. It's got to do something, right? It's got to kind of try to get you nervous or scared or feeling a bit, you know, kind of raising a ruckus so you will attend to it. And here you are, you know, here you are, just participating, just showing up, doing what you came here to do.
Yeah. I wonder how I can keep up this practice when I'm back. I mean, you know, when I'm back at home, I'm worried that I won't be. I don't know. You know, I fall for it. I mean, I really believe. For example, I don't know if I would have the strength not to eat the peanut butter, for example, at home. You know, like too much of it, because I kind of just as a small example.
Uh huh.
I don't know if I see practice as everything yet, you know.
Oh, uh-huh, right, uh-huh.
Sometimes I do, but I still fall for it's of course.
We do, Anna. And you know, just to sort of underline that point, that we come here. I mean, I know it's something that I'll just own the, you know, as a person who goes out sometimes into the world and then comes back, I get to watch that too. That okay, oh, I fell for that thing that I don't do at the monastery, but I do it out there, huh? And there's an opportunity to see that, of course, through the eyes of self-hate. No, we could do that. The ego would love that. But there's also the opportunity just to practice being in compassion with the human who's practicing so hard, who really earnestly wants to wake up and end suffering, and is using the one rule, you know, using everything in our experience, even when I project we eat too much peanut butter, or even when we don't, you know, whatever, to practice going to compassion in that place. You know, so bringing awareness to whatever is happening. Conscious, compassionate awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully I'll have the willingness Hopefully I'll have someone in this to do it, you know, when I'm at home. I hope I don't go back home after the Winston Monday and don't do anything, you know, just forget about practice. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's probably ego worry. Probably that's not
going to
happen.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, probably not, probably. But there is an encouragement that we often give to people as they leave on retreats, which is to sign up for your next retreat, you know, when you leave, or sign up for the next practice opportunity, yeah, or whatever, so that we're building into our lives those structures that we are, you know, oh, gosh, I missed my reflective listening buddy call. There you go. Okay, good. It's on my calendar. I got to show up. So it helps support us in that way you're right. Ego would love for you to forget about practice. But when we put those structures in place, then we have that support even when we're not here at the monastery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there more?
I don't remember what I wanted to talk about in the first place, but yes, I know that right now.
I too, when I leave the monastery and walk or drive up the hill, forget to practice. And I was one of the two first people to lay eyes on this place. Mm-hmm. And so it's a thing that happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can happen.
You're just trying to, it's yeah, a problem.
And the idea of laying down your burdens has always felt like a powerful place to me. I'm looking this morning at broadening my definition of what burdens are. Mm-hmm. Burdens can be just really obvious, in your face kinds of things, and then they can be those subtle movements of conditioned mind, just the whole range, just whatever it is, whenever it comes up, whenever the judgment and the self-hate and that barrier to love is there, lay it down, you know, give it to Jesus, period.
That is, you know, it's such an important process to hone, a skill, you know, to hone, is that process of laying it down, okay, and recognizing it even. So, you know, there are those huge burdens that we are just, you know, recognize as burdens, and then the invitation to lay it down, oh, thank you. And then there are those places that you're describing, just those little flicker of self-hate, or that little dash of whatever it is, conversation, distraction, whatever. And to get it, that those are the burdens I want to lay down as well. And to practice that process of giving it to Jesus, laying it down, putting it, you know, dropping it, as we often say.
Yeah, it's saying the same thing as your goodness is already established. Mm. You know, just, and so what are the barriers to love? Mm. And you, let's see, there's nothing you can think that is not the moon.
Yeah. That's a good one. There's nothing you can think that is not the moon. Your goodness has already been established. And all those places, all those things are pointing to that place. Yeah. Mm. Sherry?
Well, I've seen something that sort of in between the last two conversations. Mm-hmm. And it was a little something like this. Mm-hmm. That I think what happens to us is that we feel so beaten down by ego, mm-hmm, Mm-hmm. You know, it's just always honest with what we've done wrong and what we're going to do wrong and that sort of thing. And this is what just occurred to me in these conversations, that one of the ways that we can turn that around, and it actually includes laying down the burden, is to take up the practice of winning. And of course, I love self-discipline for a host of reasons. But I think winning is the biggest part of it. Because, so if we took, say, an example like peanut butter, and we all have those, right? Oh. Whatever they are, whether it's something to eat or something to think about or something to feel bad about or whatever it is, it's all the same process of get me to focus on something that I'm going to feel bad about. And, of course, I'm going to feel bad about it by giving all of my attention to ego. Mm-hmm. So we all know it doesn't care what I do as long as I'm looking at it and talking to it and giving it all the power. Mm-hmm. So as long as it's winning, if we put it in that frame, then it's happy. And that's its whole deal. And so if I decide that I am, so let's, we'll take it into the realm of something, coffee, mm-hmm. sugar, peanut butter, whatever it is.
Peanut butter with chocolate.
So if I break it down to one thing, That it tortures me with. Mm-hmm. And I decide that I'm going to win. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't, I'll get a lot of messages that my winning is really losing. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not going to drink coffee anymore. I'm, in fact, going to learn to love something else as much as I have loved coffee. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do that as a personal growth experiment. But mainly, I'm going to do it to prove to myself and to that system that I can, mm-hmm. that I can actually best it. Mm-hmm. And there's something really delightful, a lot, as a matter of fact, really delightful about winning in that way. Mm-hmm. And so it goes with the laying it down, laying the burden down. It's the same process of winning, mm-hmm. of winning against. So if we're going with the, you know, I have the whatever this burden is, and I'm going to give it to Jesus, which, no, voices could say, that's not very nice. but that's okay. Jesus seems to be...
He asked for it.
Yeah, and be able to take it. He suggested it was his idea. But trust me, he is the Holy Spirit. And so I, when I lay that down, or when I hand that off, that's a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won really big against that system.
Yeah.
And so, because to me, it can be really tricky to lay something down on its own. Yes, when I'm in that deeply distressed place where I just simply can't hold on to it any longer, but I realize how quickly I'll pick it back up again as soon as I get a little bit of strength. Mm-hmm. And so to count it on my win chart, mm-hmm. seems really inspiring to find the things that I can add to my win chart.
Yes. Oh, and it totally changes the focus of the attention, too, because now I'm looking for the wins.
Yes.
I'm looking for the wins. Yes. I'm looking for the opportunities for the wins. I'm looking for the ones I just won. I'm looking for the ways I can recognize, you know, all of that stuff. It just totally changes the game. Flips it on its head.
So, and not to take the entire group.
No, please.
But one more thing. I was just in a conversation with somebody who uses something very familiar to folks here in this way. And it's documentation. So we have talked in the past on occasion about getting a calendar and getting some colored pens or mm-hmm. pencils if you like that, or whatever it is that you want to do this with, and charting your life. Uh-huh. So if we combine those, because the main advantage of that is that the voices cannot pretend that you're not winning. Mm-hmm. Because you can go back. Yeah. There it is. You've written it down. You know, for the entire week, yeah. I had a win every day. Yeah. And so I just thought that combination was super fun, because with the documentation, I've always been, the thing that I always encourage people about is, be sure you check in with who's doing the documenting. Uh-huh. Because at the end of the day, if ego takes hold of the pen and pencil, it was a crappy day.
Yeah.
And you were a big loser, and once again. So we have to be really careful. And it seems like charting the wins mm-hmm. would be a way around that mm-hmm. process.
Yeah, it takes our little stickies practice to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Because it's the same attitude of mind.
Yes.
It's the same attitude of mind, but it's turbo boosted to
yes.
to a real overall practice of. I liked how you said it. I wish I could remember that phrase, but it's on the recorder. Cultivating a process of winning, or something like that. That's the attitude of mind we're going for in everywhere, and having a tangible way to document it is the structure that will support that, the attitude of mind, and the attitude of mind is the way to support us from letting ego get a hold of the structure.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, ego would like to turn that into something really egocentric. Oh, so you're going to win now. But if we realize life is winning, mm-hmm. right, that's the whole point. Ego is losing. Mm-hmm. That's the real point. But mm-hmm. life is winning. Mm-hmm. Because in every one of those, we're more here, and we're choosing life instead of ego and everything.
Mm. Wow, that is such a...
And so instead of deprivation, giving something up, I'm going to win.
Yeah. And what you started out with, one of the reasons, you know, to talk about how beaten down we all get, again, it just infuses a whole new, you know, vein of energy and mind into that human. Wow, that's fun. Maybe we all need to go invest in some big wall calendars and colored markers and things like that.
I think it'd be worthwhile.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so into the winning, and I here's what I'm saying about it, that so I have the experience over and over again of being identified with, I'm going to feel deprived if I don't do this, and I have the experience of not doing it, and I have the experience of disidentifying from that deprivation process and getting clearer that that's ego and this is life.
Uh-huh.
And to have that on a chart, it's like somewhere for that energy to, I don't know, go shine and be reflected, and for that to be like the actual, I don't know, like,
yeah.
Go on, I saw you just
Well, it's like that process is a beautiful, empowering process
yeah.
that you just described, and then the energy from it doesn't get... to be received or something. And so what you're saying is to have it documented
right.
is a way of getting to enjoy, a way of getting to twinkle, you know,
yes.
in that sense of what you have worked so hard, I project, and practiced so hard to be able to do.
Yes.
That disidentification process.
Yeah. Because sometimes the energy can get fed into feeding the thing that like the kind of spike crash, right? Feeding uh-huh. the thing that you just didn't do.
Yeah.
You just go and do it.
Yeah.
In that big energy. And then all the focus is on the lose.
Yeah.
And instead to, yeah, I'm just seeing so much about it.
Yeah.
Because in that experience of training with being out in the world and coming back to the monastery, it's like there have been so many wins. And I can see how, if I'm not careful, attention will be on the losers, right? And it's like what I experienced in the coming back to the monastery, it's almost like when we were just talking about the two-handed recording, before, I saw it as like a big, giant, extended 200 recording. So there have been all the 200 recordings like while I've been out in the world. Mm-hmm. And then it's like that whole period of that out in the world retreat gets to be, it's like coming to the monastery and moving into the and that whole experience gets sort of, I don't know, received, seen from a big, big place.
Can I catch up?
Yeah.
So in that, just the big, large, expansive field of awareness, mm-hmm. everything that's been out in the world has been the right hand, sort of. It's like watching, taking in the human. What's she going through? What's she hearing? And then coming back to the monastery, it feels like the left hand now is seeing it. And everything in her life gets to be received and seen and taken in.
Yeah.
And unconditionally accepted.
Yeah, yes, yes, absolutely. With that big place of it's all grist to the mill, I've got to know the human so much better in all of these experiences. None of it's a mistake. And I tell you what, I actually can experience that the coming back muscle is stronger, even though it hasn't felt so kind of great and shiny and expansive all the time. It's like practicing coming back in the thick of it, in all of the distraction, has still been strengthening the coming back muscle. Right?
And you mean coming back to the moment, not coming back to the monastery.
Coming back to the moment, coming back here.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm out in the distraction. So, for example, one of my favorite practices is on the bus on the way to work in the morning. We have a recording that the prostrations recording that goes through all the chakras. I love listening to that on the bus and finding something in the environment with the color of that chakra, right? Mm-hmm. And just, and it turns into this magical dance, right? Because as soon as you get to, you know, unconditional love, somebody walks onto the bus in a red jacket. A blue car goes down, right? It's just, you know, it becomes that wonderful dance. And even though it might feel like it's kind of, I don't know, it might feel like a slog or challenging when there's just so much going on. Mm-hmm. Like the process that I'm practicing is coming back to here, and so then when I'm in this environment where it's kind of in a sense sitting and facing the black and white wall, it's so much easier to come back to here. I can feel the effect of that practicing coming back, that the coming back muscle is stronger, even though the story might be it's just being survival.
Yeah.
I get to experience how that isn't true.
It's not true. And you can claim it as a huge win.
A huge win.
On your balance. Because there you have been every day on the bus. But that coming back muscle has been being strengthened.
Right.
Without any credit or any recognition, probably, maybe even given to the fact that that's happening, but here you come and you sit and you face the white wall and you can see, wow, there's been some real nice strengthening happening here, and that, and to really recognize that that is what is going on all the time.
Right. And the only the suffering process would be. Oh, well, being out in the world, it should be, because I remember when I first made that transition from the monastery to out in the world, I really was caught in this delusion that, wow, it would just be basically the same. I'll probably be in the kitchen reading the kitchen policies and procedures to myself, having a cooking period, sitting, and of course, it's like, oh dear. You know, but that is the setup for the suffering, right? That it should be this time of flourishing,
because look at all the practice that
exactly.
I'm training, and it's just going to be applied here.
And there's such a momentum with the panel, it's going to be exactly the same. And of course, it's like, you know, getting your breakfast and packing up your lunch together to hop on the bus. In other words, to let go of that, how to put it, to be in that humility of, like, not having better ideas about how this should look or about how the human should be being, or I remember this disruption once this came up in group. The guy said something like, you know, it's about choosing unconditional love when you wake up on your own doorstep in your own clothes, right? Something like that. Uh-huh. Like, in other words, not having, because it could be the suffering of going out into the world and having this rigid ego idea of, well, it's going to be basically the same, and I'll just be seamlessly following a schedule. And instead to, to lay that burden down.
Yeah, and you know, the word humility that you use, really, I can see why you would choose that word, because it really is, what it sounds like what you're describing is a real letting go, letting the burden down. And in this case, the burden is this idea of what's gonna, how my life is gonna be, this workshop is gonna be. I know nothing.
Exactly.
I know nothing about any of it. And I'm just gonna practice choosing unconditional love.
And exactly, and just to bring it back to the winds, because the fun place, of course, is not going, and to the other end of the geography, to heck with it, there's no point having any structures at all. It's like that, like we talk about calibrating, so okay, what's appropriate now?
Which getting back to something that was said earlier, which life will drop in
exactly
in the simplicity, you know, of that, or the humility of just that letting go.
Exactly.
And then what is appropriate for that moment, for this time,
right there. Yeah. I think we should definitely get the same.
Maybe for the colorable markers and go for the women.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sequoia.
Yeah, I mean, for the women as well. And it has been up for me lately. I've just seen once again that, let's see, there's usually no. Let's see, I don't know how to say this. There's this life being lived, and then there's the voice that has information about the life being lived, which is so not true. Mm-hmm. You know, and the attention goes on the voice, and this human doesn't get to have the pleasure mm-hmm. and the joy and the experience of this incredible life. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just this continual love. You know, as we were talking about this morning, mm-hmm. you know, things just have to get fixed. Or mm-hmm. And so, it just has been being brought home this week, it seems, more strongly, like, you know, living. Yeah, I don't know how to say it, other than living an amazing life and having that turned into, you know, something from conditioned mind that, you know, it's not an amazing life. Mm-hmm. And it came to me from something on the one of the morning radio shows about dedicating a recorder mm-hmm. to, you know, just something that you really are wanting to focus on and break through the karma. Mm-hmm. And it just came to me to have just one recorder that's just dedicated to what's real.
Yeah.
You know, and to just listen to that over and over and over again, to reprogram that lifelong habit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of listening to what's not so.
Yeah.
And
wow, that is so having so really getting it that I have an amazing life mm-hmm. here, and really getting it that voice, and every time, you know, as much to the degree that our attention mm-hmm. is absorbed into mm-hmm. that voice, mm-hmm. we lose sight mm-hmm. of this amazing
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
And so dedicating a whole recorder to my amazing life, whatever we would right. want to have, you know, what I have yeah. as a reminder,
it's what's real. I'm doing morning prayers, and I love doing it. And what's happened recently, and is that, you know, I just feel like, shouting, and and sometimes, you know, just people that will come to me. Of course, this is all a great projection exercise, you know.
Praying is a great
projection exercise, you know. And I think of someone that, you know, in the past, there would have been worry, and you know, and like it just comes out like, I just I just shout out. I just call. I don't know even know what it means, but what comes out is I just call you out.
Uh-huh.
You know, I just call you out, and I see that, you know, just what's real.
Yeah.
You know, and you know when it's kind and when it's right. You know, I just. You know, I just pray for what all of us junk
yes.
could just be dropped away so we can just stand in what's real.
Wow.
And, you know, so it's like that kind of, mm-hmm. you know, boy, I want to chart that.
Mm-hmm.
Chart on the
big,
wall.
Big win. Like, yeah. Big win, I'm out.
And, yeah. And I just want to end by saying, yeah, the spirit's moving. But anyway, I recently found out, and there's a tree not very far from here, like 200 miles away, that is believed to be the largest tree on the planet in mass. It's humongous. And it is over 3,000 years old. And I don't know why. It just moves me. That something of that, you know, we just don't stop to think about, you know, we're insignificant. Well, you know, that this being has stood here for over 3,000 years, watching all our shenanigans,
yeah.
you know, our comings and goings, and doesn't seem to have any kind of problem with just standing there in silence and presence and just. Taking up big space,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
and not at all apologetic for itself.
Yeah.
And you know, it made me want to hop in the car and just go sit with it for a little bit. And the funny thing is, I think I probably have been to see that tree because I have been to this place. But it's just so interesting to see, you know, the transformation over time. When I saw it many years ago, it was like, oh, nice big tree. I saw that tree,
yeah.
you know. And so now there's just the ability to just, to just, I don't know what it is, but to just be in reverence.
Yeah. Well, the phrase that's dropping in for me is just to an opportunity to just own the projection. You know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, I just pray for all of us to stand in that. I pray for Sequoia to stand in that.
And call it out, what's real.
What's real, I call it.
Yeah, call out what's real, not this. What's
right.
real is this fabulous life.
This fabulous
That's
life.
What's real.
Yeah.
And to get and to find, you know, whatever takes you there, right?
Right. But,
you know, and to really, to be in that process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's making a recording or visiting the tree or praying for people or whatever or all of it, you
right.
know,
right.
because it's what reinforces and calls us to that
yeah.
very process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I call her out and I chart it on the wall and
Wow.
Yeah.
Very
cool.
Thank you. Thank you all.